right, thank you. My name is Donciso Jurizo. I'm from Ohio State University. So first, I would like to recognize my co-investigators, Steve Coleman and Kai. And my presentation's title is Comparing Variability of Soil Health Indicators to Routine Soil Nutrient Tests. So as we know, soil health testing requires a more comprehensive approach than the standard soil nutrient testing, which is primarily based on soil chemistry by measuring pH and soil nutrients, whereas soil health testing integrates all necessary properties, the physical, chemical, and the biological properties. And we also know that the most useful soil health indicators are the ones that reflect key soil ecosystem processes and those that are sensitive to changes in soil and crop management practices and show changes in the soil health in the short term. They're rapid, inexpensive, and suitable for high throughput capacity or routine analysis, and also actionable for soil and crop management practices. In our lab, we are mainly focused on measures of labile soil organic matter because despite the smaller pool size, which is the tiny slice of the pie, I don't know how to use the mouse here. Okay, so there, so that's the labile pool, which is usually 5 to 20% of the total soil organic matter, but it's the main driver of soil biological activity and nutrient availability. And there are several methods by which that labile pool is measured, but most of these measures are either time-consuming or they require expensive instrumentation. Permanganate oxidizable carbon, soil protein, mineralizable carbon based on 1 day to 3 day incubation. Those are rapid, inexpensive, and also suitable for commercial soil testing framework. What do these tests reflect? PAXI, permanganate oxidizable carbon, or also known as active carbon. It represents a readily available carbon substrate for soil microbes, and it's also sensitive to management practices. And a recent study conducted by our lab showed that PAXI reflects organic matter building practices or practices that promote organic matter building. Mineralizable carbon, the Birch effect, sometimes called, or the burst of CO2, it is an indicator of microbial activity, and it also correlates with long-term carbon and nitrogen mineralization. And it's also sensitive to management practices. Soil protein, it's a fraction of soil organic matter, represents the largest proportion of organically bound nitrogen, which become or potentially become available for plant uptake upon mineralization. And it's also sensitive to management practices. So as we try to move soil health testing from research labs into farmers' fields, there are several practical questions that need answers, such as, for example, how do we sample soils, how often, and what time of the year? So with this in mind, the objectives of this study were to compare the repeatability of measurements and the within field spatial and seasonal variability of PAXI, mineralizable carbon, protein relative to the standard soil nutrient tests. So we took soil samples in a grid pattern. So in total, 20 samples were collected. From an area of 61 meters by 46 meters. And from each grid point, we took 12 cores. And then we sieved the soils, hand-sieved the soils through 8-millimeter sieve, and then air-dried, ground to pass through 2-millimeter, and then analyzed for PAXI, mineralizable carbon, protein in our lab, and the standard soil nutrient tests were conducted in a commercial in a commercial soil testing lab. I don't have to go into details of the meters, but permanganate oxidizable carbon is measured according to the Weil method, which involves reacting 2.5 gram of soil with potassium permanganate, and then shaking for 2 minutes, settling for 10 minutes exactly, and then a few more steps and reading the absorbance on spectrophotometer at 550 nanometers. There are variations of this method, but the one we use is a one-day aerobic incubation. And what we do is just 10 grams of soil placed in a centrifuge tubes or Falcon tubes, and then we adjust the moisture to 50% water holding capacity, and then we incubate for 24 hours, and then we just withdraw 1 milliliters of the headspace air sample, and we inject that into infrared gas analyzer. The soil protein analysis involves three steps: extraction, purification, and quantification. So the extraction step is just extracting 3 gram air disol with sodium citrate, and then autoclave that at high temperature, 121 degrees C, and then purify that by centrifuging, and then quantify using what's called the BCA protein assay. And then we read the absorbance on spectrophotometer at 562 nanometers. So summary statistics, this is just to show how large of a range we can get by sampling the same field. So if you look at, for example, mineralizable carbon, there is a wide range of values measured. You know, from 21, for example, I'm showing the data for just one site here, because although we took samples from three different sites, trends are the same, so I'm just using one site as an example. So there are a wide range of values measured, especially for mineralizable carbon, as you can see there. I don't know why I'm having a hard time moving the cursor here. Okay, so wide range of values for mineralizable carbon, and then total organic matter, the same thing. There you go. As you can see there, the range is from 1.6 to 4%, from 1.8% to 3.5%, 1% to 3.3%, depending on the sampling times. Samples were taken at three time points during corn growing season, V4, R1, and R6. So a wide range of values, like for example, Malic 3P, as you can see there, from 63 to 203, 64 to 231, 49 to 184. So we also determined the repeatability of these measurements just by using the coefficient of variability. So in that figure, what we are trying to show is just the distribution of CV values from all those 20 grid points. And just by using the median CV value, what you can see there on the table is that mineralizable carbon had the largest coefficient of variability, followed by total organic matter, PAXI, and then protein and the soil nutrient tests. So what this means is that PAXI and protein and all the soil nutrient tests have maximum repeatability, whereas mineralizable carbon would likely have a minimum repeatability. In-field spatial variability. So here we used what we call variogram or semi-variogram analysis, and we used one parameter of that analysis, spatial range, which is the maximum distance over which spatial autocorrelation expressed. I think the easiest way to explain this figure is that, so if, for example, the indicator has a longer spatial distance or spatial range, so it is less variable. Whereas if it has a shorter spatial range, that means that indicator is more variable within a field. Okay, so for example, if you look at the top row there, Paxi, the lower spatial distance is from 63 all the way up to 88 meters, and for PH, it's anywhere from 25 meters to above 50, total organic matter from 10 all the way to just above 50. So just based on this, generally we can say that mineralizable carbon, pH, total organic matter, and K, they have shorter spatial distances than Paxi and protein. So those, for example, mineralizable carbon, pH, total organic matter, and K are more variable within a field than Paxi and soil protein are. Seasonal variability, so we just used the values that were measured at three different time points just to calculate the coefficient of variability to determine the magnitude of seasonal variability. So as you can see there, just from the table, mineralizable carbon had the largest coefficient of variability. That means it varies a lot within a season, during the same growing season, followed by total organic matter, phosphorus, Paxi, protein, and all the rest of the tests that are commonly conducted in commercial soil testing labs. So in conclusions, soil protein and Paxi are not more variable than most measures in standard soil nutrient tests, whereas mineralizable carbon is more variable. Therefore, no additional soil samples need to be taken at higher density than what is typically required for standard soil nutrient testing if you are taking soil samples for soil health testing, especially for Paxi and protein. So with that, I finish my presentation.
Thank you.
Yeah.
When you're measuring the throughout season, the repeated measurements, was it done in the same location each time?
Yeah, so the same locations, same time, at V4, R1, and R6 corn growth stages, yeah. I'm not sure I understand the question fully, but I don't think our results contradict each other, because mineralizable carbon, as I've shown here, so if we start from repeatability, for example, it had the highest or the largest median coefficient of variability. So that means it has a minimum repeatability. If you try to send the same sample or do the analysis again and again, so you're not going to end up getting, you know, same results. So spatial variability, if you can see here, for example, if you compare Paxi and mineralizable carbon, so you can see that the spatial range values for Paxi range from anywhere 60 to all the way to 88. So that means it has a longer spatial distance. So it doesn't vary that much within a field, whereas mineralizable carbon, it varies from, you know, anywhere from 30 to 60. So it means that it is highly variable. So if you are measuring mineralizable carbon, you may need more samples or samples taken at higher density compared to when you are taking samples for measuring Paxi and soil protein.
Thank you.
Yeah.